about to launch into a discussion of worry and judgment, treating people the way you want to be treated, and so many other topics that we frequently go to as guides for how to live a Christian life. However, right in the middle of all of these important topics, Jesus shares a few sentences on treasure. So turn with me now to Matthew chapter 6 as we look at what Jesus has to say. We're reading from Matthew 6, beginning in verse 19. Stop collecting treasures for your own benefit on earth, where moth and rust eat them and where thieves break in and steal them. Instead, collect treasures for yourself in heaven, where moth and rust don't eat them and where thieves don't break in and steal them. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. Therefore, if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how terrible the darkness will be. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you'll be loyal to one and have contempt for the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. This is the word of the Lord. So we find Jesus talking to his many followers, and at this point in time, he's still gaining popularity. Thousands of people are coming to hear him, and many are following him from town to town as he shares this message. However, they don't really get what Jesus is trying to say to them. You see, Jesus is preaching mostly to a Jewish crowd, and these Jews knew only one way to follow God, and that was to perfectly follow the Ten Commandments and the hundreds of other commandments and laws they had created based off of those Ten Commandments. And then when you didn't follow them perfectly because you're human and you're going to make mistakes, you had to pay some kind of atonement, make a sacrifice for sinning. However, Jesus comes along and says their understanding of the law is wrong. The Jews have a long list of do's and don'ts, and if you stuck to that list, you were fine. Therefore, if the law said you could only walk half a mile on the Sabbath, you better not take one extra step, or you'd be sinning. On the other side, if the law didn't say anything about taking advantage of people for your own gain by slave labor and poor work wages, then you weren't sinning, because that was not part of the law. However, Jesus comes along and says that they have it all wrong. Instead of obedience being task-oriented, obedience is heart-oriented. The things that fuel your actions determine whether or not those actions are sinful. Therefore, if you work on the Sabbath to bring healing to another person, it's not sin. But if you think bad thoughts about another human, even if you don't act on them, it is sin. And it is in the middle of trying to get this point across that Jesus adds this passage we just read. Here, Jesus is using another analogy to get this point across by equating the desires of the heart to treasure. Now, I'm sure most of you have noticed this mess of pictures here next to me, and this board represents earthly treasures. Now, I know it's hard to see, but if you look closely, we've got a house and cars and clothes and things that represent possessions, the treasure of the things we have. Underneath it, we have awards and promotions and the treasure of success and achievement. Below that, we have partying and alcohol and drugs, a multi-billion-dollar industry that affects every social class in America. Next to that, we have the popular TV and movie channels, and the average American watches 4 to 6 hours of these a day. Next to that, we have the treasure of popularity. Now, this is not just having friends, but that's the desire to do whatever it takes to be accepted, even letting go of your own values. Above that is one we don't like to talk about a lot, and that's the treasure of food. But it has led to America being the highest country suffering from obesity and other diet-related issues. Above that is the one that we often think of when we think of treasure, and that's money. And that's what we try so hard to achieve. Below, next to that, may not apply to all of you, but especially to the younger crowd, the world of social media is the world we live in. And a post a like, a share, a comment has the power to affect both negatively or positively your entire day. And below that is one that we all get to enjoy today with it being Super Bowl Sunday, and that's the treasure of the sports culture, where Americans spent over $100 billion last year in sports equipment and entertainment, and $13.5 billion is expected to be spent on today's Super Bowl alone. So these aren't all the treasures that the world has to offer, but these are a good representation of them. And all of these things, while not bad in and of themselves for the most part, all have the power to become what drive us and what becomes the heart of why we do what we do. But I want to go back to what I said earlier. Jesus is focusing on what is driving the heart more than the actions in and of themselves. So don't worry, I'm not saying you need to cancel your Super Bowl parties or give away all your possessions, or stop trying to succeed. That's not the point. Rather, I want to bring these things up because they are often the things that become the treasures we store up here on earth. A song I heard recently really hit me hard when I was thinking about this idea. It said, "Anything I put before my God is an idol." And this is how we normally talk about it, right? We say, if you worship anything over God, then you're sinning. And most of us say, well, we don't worship things. We worship God, so we're okay. However, the song doesn't stop there. It goes on to say, anything I want with all my heart is an idol. Anything I can't stop thinking of is an idol. And anything I give all of my love is an idol. And if any of these statements are true about these earthly treasures, maybe it's time that we start to evaluate our hearts and see if we are storing up treasures on earth and creating idols out of them. But for now, I want to go back to the text because Jesus clearly lays out an alternative to making idols of fleeting, worldly things when he calls us to store up treasures in heaven where they cannot be destroyed. His entire sermon is about what it looks like to store up treasures in heaven by living in true obedience to God, by having a right heart, and not merely a right checklist. He ends his sermon by encouraging those listening to have a solid foundation, and this foundation is where I want us to focus. Now, we can think of countless things in the world that people make into idols, but we often struggle with knowing how to build that solid foundation of heavenly treasures. So I want to spend some time looking at what these treasures are. So we're going to go back to the board and see how we can change these earthly treasures into heavenly treasures. And therefore, I want to talk about how we can use these things to build that foundation. Because like I said, most of these things aren't bad in and of themselves. And by a change of heart, they can actually become tools to building this foundation. So first, let's replace the treasure of possessions with the treasure of love. The world tells us to love possessions. It says we like to say things like we love this movie, or we love our dog, or we love pizza, or we love things. But that's not true love. You see, true love is seen in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, where he was willing to give up everything he had to be in relationship with us. And this is the love we are also called to. We are called to love God and love others so much that these possessions are worth nothing to us. We would gladly give them up, gladly use them to help benefit others. The second one I want to replace is the treasure of partying and drugs and all the things we use for a temporary happiness. And I want to replace that with joy. Now, this is one that I don't encourage you to use to help benefit and grow the treasures. However, if you have experience turning to these things for happiness, I encourage you to find true joy in Christ, where even though things may not be going the way you want, even though you're hurting, even though you experience brokenness, you have joy because you have hope in Christ and hope that God is working for His will and His purpose. And so instead of using these things to build that foundation, I encourage you to use your experience to help others find joy. When you know true joy, you should want everyone to experience it. So third, we're going to look at replacing popularity. Now, this popularity often leads to giving up our values as we turn to peer pressure and anything that'll help us be accepted. And instead, let's replace it with the treasure of peace. If we have peace, it allows us to be content. And this peace comes from Christ, and we know we've been accepted into Christ's family, and nothing can change that acceptance. And we don't have to change who we are, what we look like, in order to be accepted. We don't have to give up our values to be accepted into the family of Christ. And while choosing to stand for your values rather than go with the crowd may lead you feeling lonely for a season, if you find peace to stand for your values even when no one is accepting you, people are going to notice. People are going to see that you're different, that you have something that they want. And eventually, that peace, that choice to stand for your values, is going to become an opportunity to witness for Christ. So we've got a few more to go through, and next we're going to look at replacing the treasure of achieving. Now, this is one I struggle with. If anybody has taken Strength Finders, my number one is achiever. And this is one of the treasures that I often find is my stumbling block. And often success drives us to give up things we should value. You may give up time in church or with your family in order to work more to gain that promotion. You may devalue and degrade another human being in order to become first place in that competition. However, we're going to replace that today with patience. And patience calls us to trust that God has a better plan for you than the plan you have for yourself. And it may be calling you to do things that won't lead to earthly successes, won't lead to a promotion or a fancy trophy. But if you're listening to God and to God's leading, you'll find a success that is the greatest achievement because you will be following Christ. So you just have to be patient and wait for God's leading in your life. The next one is the one we like to talk about and often we don't like to think about giving up. And that's the treasure of money. And today, we're going to replace money with kindness. Now, we talked about this a little bit already with love. But the things we have aren't necessarily a problem. It only becomes a problem when they are what control you. And so, oftentimes, while none of us, I hope, are like Scrooge, where we throw members out of our family out on the street in order to keep more money for ourselves, we often will avoid helping people because we're worried we won't have enough for our own needs. However, kindness calls us to love, and love calls us to give everything we have in order to better the other. And so now, for those of you who haven't started dozing off with my changing of treasures, you may have noticed that we're going through the fruits of the Spirit. And so you know what comes next. Goodness. In our efforts to replace earthly treasures with heavenly ones, we're going to replace sports culture with goodness. Now, I'm not doing this because if you play sports, you're not a good person. Trust me, I played sports. It's not what I'm saying at all. Instead, I'm saying it because sports culture can negatively affect goodness. For example, many athletes will bully and belittle other players. They will lash out when they don't like a call that was made, and they will sacrifice good behavior in order to win. However, what if instead of allowing sports culture to affect our goodness, we allowed goodness to affect our sports culture? What if athletes went into a game with the mindset that no matter what happened, they were going to respect everyone? What if fans only cheered with the intent to encourage the players? What if sporting events became a chance to share who Christ is through our actions? This is why I love that Upward Sports program, and I encourage you to go every week. It's a chance for us to teach young athletes how to emulate Christ. And so I just think, so what if we just took that idea of being Christ in everything into our sports culture? Imagine how the game would change. It's all about the heart of the matter. So as we look at what other treasures we can store in heaven, the next one we come to is faithfulness. And I want to replace television with this because it has the ability to affect what we do, what we think, what we believe, based on what we allow into our lives. Mixed them up. Oops. There we go. That's what I get when I don't put my puzzle in the right order. We're okay. So we're going to replace it with faithfulness. And the reason I say this is because, from personal experience, I really enjoy watching crime shows. They're one of my favorite things to binge watch on Netflix. And for the most part, they're pretty harmless. However, I find that when I've watched a lot of them, it begins to affect my day-to-day life. I start to get a little jumpy when I hear noises when I'm home alone. The creepy characters start to infiltrate my sleep. And ultimately, I find myself rooted in fear rather than trusting in Christ. I'm no longer being faithful to my call to trust in Christ in all things. However, when we choose faithfulness rather than media to influence what we focus on, we will stay true to our values and our desire to follow God. And this may mean saying no to shows, news sources, and movies that go against those values. But when we choose to continually invest in strengthening our values, strengthening our heavenly treasure, it's going to completely change the things we focus on, the things we think about, and the things we allow to influence our lives. So for those who are keeping track, there's two more to go that I want to look at. And this next one, like I said, may not apply to you if you're not part of the social media scene, but especially for my generation and those above and below me, social media can be a very toxic environment. I was actually talking to a lady this week who said that her daughter's self-esteem was so messed up because her value system was placed on she would post a picture and she'd feel good about herself if people liked it and bad about herself if they didn't. Her entire way she viewed herself was based on how other people on social media viewed her. I also have friends who use this platform to tear down anyone who disagrees with them on anything. There are hundreds of stories, ads, and videos that pop up that promote negative values. And especially for the younger generations, this is the world we live in. That is why today we are going to replace social media with gentleness. And in a world that is so full of hate and shaming and destruction, we need to be voices of gentleness and healing and building one another up. So this doesn't mean stop using social media, but rather use it as a platform of gentleness. Share a note of encouragement with a friend. Invite someone to a Bible study or a small group, or even to one of those small groups on the Bible app where you can just read together. Connect with organizations that are doing good in the world. And ultimately, take what has been used for pain and use it for healing and restoration. And finally, we come to the one we often don't like to talk about, food. I know I like my food, and definitely this is another one of the treasures that I struggle with, as do many. However, in America, we're ranked number one for obesity problems, and our portion sizes are about twice the size of many other countries, and not just the ones where food is scarce. And we like to eat like hobbits with our breakfast, second breakfast, 11s, lunch, afternoon tea, dinner, and supper. And if you haven't seen Lord of the Rings, you wouldn't get that reference. But and while food is obviously not bad, and it's actually necessary for survival, the problem comes when we talk about the final fruit of the Spirit, self-control. By not having self-control, we are allowing food or other things to control us. And this is true of many things, and a lot of the things we already talked about that used to be up on that board. When we allow things to have control over us instead of having self-control, those things become idols. So what does a heavenly treasure of self-control mean? It means that nothing in our life is so important that it controls us. While we enjoy the good things around us, such as money, food, technology, and friends, we are so rooted in our values and desire for Christ that none of these things have control in our lives to make us choose anything other than Christ. And ultimately, heavenly treasures is anything that reflects the image of Christ that we see witnessed to in the Bible. And it is through the Holy Spirit that we can choose to live into the call to be Christ-like. And so as we close today, I want to encourage each of us to prayerfully consider our lives. Is there anything in your life that you value so much that it consumes your time, your thoughts, your love, your obedience to God? If so, I ask you to pray that the Holy Spirit helps you remove the idols from your life. Or maybe you're on the right path, seeking to be more and more like Christ, and I hope that's you today. Maybe you need to seek God to help you continue to invest and strengthen these heavenly treasures. See how you can continue to build on the treasures of heaven. Or maybe there's someone in your life who's struggling with these idols, that you can be a voice of encouragement. Seek God's wisdom on how you can help these people. And share your stories, how you've overcome your earthly treasures. I mentioned a song earlier that really convicted me about my earthly treasures, and I want to close by listening to it. If during this time you feel led to come forward and pray, the altar is open, as well as the first few pews, or you can definitely stay in your seats. All I ask is that you just sit and listen to what the Holy Spirit's revealing to you today. Please stand and receive this benediction. The word of Christ must live in you richly. Teach and warn each other with all wisdom by singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Whatever you do, whether in speech or action, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus and give thanks to God the Father through him. Go and store up treasures in heaven. Go in peace.